Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
It's a noontime on a Friday. This song has been played for many years at this time on this station. Rest in peace, Tony Lewis, the singer of this song.
Unbelievable.
Lead singer of the band The Outfield, died this week at the age of 62.
What a great voice.
Phil is with us from NBC Sports Boston. Phil, good afternoon. Hello.
What's going on, boys? I feel like this is the song that welcomes me into the show every time I do the show with you guys on Friday. It's been going on for years.
Yeah.
Little piece of me inside died this week.
Really?
That's great, Phil.
That's how I feel.
Very emotional, Phil.
Amazing amount of
Otherwise, having a great day. Having a great week. Ready to go. Going to have a big game. Lot to talk about.
Well, let's start with Cam Newton. Patriots quarterback Cam Newton. We spent some time earlier talking about the accountability that he had yesterday when he spoke. I think the best accountability will come with a better performance this week from Cam Newton. But I know earlier in the week, Phil, you were maybe pointing out the injury that could exist for Cam Newton. Do you think Cam Newton is hurt? I think he was hurt last week.
I think it might have bothered him a little bit. You know, you look at that throw to Demir Byrd deep down the left sideline late in that game. It was a little late. He didn't see it immediately, and then he saw him kind of flash open, I think, down the field. The mechanics weren't great. I just was looking for a reason for why,
why
some
would
of
that
those throws
feet,
were
though?
So off.
Yeah, why would the hand, though, affect the feet? You know, I just think
that's the thing. It wasn't just the hand. Like, if the feet were perfect and the shoulders were perfect, though, I mean, you know more about this stuff than I do.
Slow and late all day.
Yeah, so like, I really don't think it was, if it was an issue at all, I don't think it was a major issue. However, the numbers before he took that hit and after he took that hit, it was late in the third quarter. I mean, it was a drastic drop-off in terms of the completion percentage and the yards per attempt and all that. So we'll see. He's not in the injury report, and I don't believe there's anything on his hand at practice this week. So I think it was just got caught in the middle of a bad run. I'm not going to say the guy's hurt right now.
Phil Perry is with us. He is driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is the proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats.
Tom Leahy?
Not in this one. Oh. All right, Phil. So where's your confidence level in him right now as a quarterback for this team, for this season? Where things go from here?
It is so up in the air right now. I think it makes these next couple of weeks really important, especially with the trade deadline looming. But with him in particular, I think your worry if you're the Patriots guys is not that he's the quarterback we saw last weekend, because I think that was an outlier situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about, I know at our station, you guys probably as well, just the excuse making and, you know, are they making excuses? Are they not making excuses, or are they actually making excuses by saying they don't want to make excuses for themselves? Like, obviously, to me, Cam Newton was the most impacted by the time off of any Patriots player. He didn't practice for basically 2 weeks. He gets out there. There's zero anticipation. There's zero instinct, it feels like, on where to go with the football and when. It felt like he was a guy who had just not played football for 2 weeks. So I'm kind of removing that one from the equation, for now at least. My worry would be if I'm the Patriots that he's not the guy we saw last weekend, but the guy we saw in week three.
He was the same at the Raiders game.
Even if they, I think he was a little bit better, though, in the Raiders game, because the difference to me, and you tell me, but the difference to me between those two games, and we on our report card, he took a C-minus home for both, but for different reasons. Last week, it was a lot of holding on to the ball, right? A lot of slow and late. You just said it.
The Raiders game was just bad decisions.
The decisions were horrid. Yeah. I mean, he was throwing it into team meetings in the middle of the field to Julian Edelman deep down
the
field.
So wait a minute, you're saying
four passes that could have been picked off that week. He was too aggressive. He was that was Cam Newton. When Cam Newton's been bad in his career with the Panthers, it looked more like that. It looked more like what we saw in week three, not what we saw this past weekend. So that would be my concern, is that is he that guy, or is he going to be that guy more often than he was the guy in week two?
Well, here's what I worry about with this team. So, okay, so we're talking about Cam. So he's the energy offensive leader of this team, came in, took it by the horns, got voted team captain. When you have a team captain that is playing down and looks like they're regressing a little bit, and say he puts two more games, say this week against the 49ers in 2 days, and then against Buffalo next week, if he rolls two bad ones out back-to-back, you're 2-5. How do you sit a captain down and put the other kid in to see, do we have anything rare with him before we get to the off? Like, it's almost going to be hey, we're turning everything over to Jared, but we got to see if he can play. You see what I'm saying?
Not only do you have to
do that. Is that out of the equation? Or can't you sit Cam?
Why should it be? I mean, it's hard for us to envision, right? Because we've never been here before with this team and this coach.
I mean, you sat Bledsoe. Yeah.
2-5. 2-5, do you, with Bill Belichick, do you start selling? Do you go to the young quarterback to see what your future is? I think that would be the smart play. We've just never seen it before.
Yeah.
Can they bring themselves to do that? Or do they look at it and say, yeah, the Bills aren't legit?
But do you lose the team?
We could run off,
you know what I mean?
Seven, like, wins. We could maybe end up 9-7 and maybe sneak into the playoffs and try to make a run. Like, would they look at it that way? Or would they say, listen, guys, we are what we are right now. The offense isn't good. We don't have enough weapons on the outside. The quarterback is too inconsistent. We're just not going to be what we want to be this year. So let's turn it over to Jarrett. Even if he's a captain, I don't think Bill Belichick would really have a hard time with that, though. Okay. I mean, maybe.
I just wonder, I
mean,
if the you team, are looking if at a Cam team that's going team, you know?
So it is a weird year, right? I mean, you've got guys that are sacrificing a lot to play football this year. They're scared about bringing viruses home to their families. They're going through all sorts of weird stuff. This is a season unlike any other that they had an opportunity to opt out of a few months ago. Can you sell to your team, which is loaded with veterans, guys, this isn't the year. We're actually, I know we're still going through all this stuff.
Bill,
you're getting tested twice a day. This is actually, we're just looking at next year.
With
now.
9 weeks to go, you want your coach to send the message to the locker room that, guys, we're out? I think that's a mess waiting to happen. Is that something Bill wants to have on his hands?
I would say don't go 2-5. I mean, it's like at 2-5, Beetle, what are you thinking as a Patriots fan? Are you thinking, hey, they're still in this?
No, you're not. You're not thinking.
Okay.
I mean,
like, what's the reasonable, what's the logical path at that point if you end up 2-5? And I don't think they are. I think they're going to win this weekend.
I think they
should win this weekend.
I'm nervous as all hell about it, but I do think they are going to win.
Well, these are listen,
but this is what we're talking about.
New territory for all of us, guys.
They need to get a win at least once in the next 2 weeks, because if they don't, they're in that 2-5 situation. But I also think, you know, there's some things to take away from this game as to whether or not they start to trend in that direction. And we'll talk more about that with Phil Perry. This weekend's game and what's at stake for the Patriots, buyers, sellers, how will they approach the next few weeks? We'll do that and your calls mixed in as well. 617-779-0985. That's on the way.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an offseason.
This is why you do the show. You take chances, you give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, is with us. Phil, I think we spent a little time talking about style points last week. I know I was big on that. Let's get some style points out there. Let's beat the bag out of Denver.
Yikes.
I'm pretty sure I said there was nothing to learn from that game.
Yeah, well, I guess we were both wrong.
Had a really good week then, huh?
Nobody had a good week on that front. What about this week in the spot for the Patriots? Number one, I think there's something on the stake. There's something at stake with the Patriots and Bill Belichick. I think last week when you were saying there's not a lot to be learned, and I'm saying, hey, get some style points, maybe further prove that you're worth investing in.
Yeah.
I think we were giving the team the benefit of the doubt because of the way they handle adversity over the years with this coaching staff and with Bill Belichick and just sort of the Patriot way of the last however many years. So we learned, okay, maybe we couldn't give them that benefit of the doubt. The practice really did impact them. The week and the adversity of all the positive tests impacted them in a very negative way. This week, though, they're in the spot where they have to respond and where they typically do. And that, to me, is something they've got to prove, that when their backs are against the wall and everybody's questioning them and questioning the head coach, that they have a response. That's one part. The other part is, okay, if they lose and it's a close game and they don't look terrible, that's still a somewhat decent sign. But the opposite, I guess, of style points would be, you know, the ugly points. And if it's really bad again and they have another really bad week, forget getting to 2-5. You might start thinking about this team very differently at 2-4. And the trade deadline is on the way. And not only, as you mentioned, are they buyers or sellers, they start thinking there's no possible way we could spend draft capital on this team. Because a win against the Bills, is that enough to convince us to go back the other way? I don't know if it will be if this week is bad.
I think there's some nuance here, too, in that if they look bad, why do they look bad? And is it fixable? Like, I look at this offense right now, and even if Cam Newton is vastly improved from what we saw last week, and I honestly would expect that to be the case. If they don't have enough around him, if defenses are so unafraid of Patriots personnel offensively that not only are they going to play almost exclusively with a single high safety, which they're at the top of the league, there are only four teams in the NFL that see single high safety coverage more often than the Patriots. So the Broncos did a ton of it last week. But not only did they do a lot of single high safety coverage where they're dropping a safety into the box to try to take away the run, they're also taking away those shorter routes that the Patriots live off of. Cam Newton, by the way, one of the shortest on average throwers in the NFL this year, right behind Jimmy Garoppolo, who's right behind Drew Brees. Those are the bottom three guys this year.
That's interesting.
You're Brees. Not only
That's
getting that.
Brees is there, you know?
Oh, he's, hey, man, he's dink and dunk guy right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Wow. He's got guys that can get vertical and get, you know, Michael Thomas can run good dig routes, curls.
But it's a testament to how defenses look at this offense.
Sure.
Which is, let's just take away the run.
Let's sit on it.
We got one safety back there. What are they going to beat us with, Damir Bird?
I agree.
And Kill Harry on the outside?
I said it.
I
would
be afraid of that.
I'd blitz you every play. I'd say,
and they did. I mean, what did they do on the last play of the game?
Blitz,
last play
double.
Of the game, they were so unafraid of you. They didn't go post safety coverage. They didn't go with a single safety. They went with no safeties.
Yeah.
Because they were that unafraid of what you had offensively.
They ran
in the most important spot in the game.
Yep. They brought it.
So, this team could look better, but are they going to look good enough where you look at it and say, they are just one piece away? What if they could bring in AJ Green for a third round pick? Like, would that be enough? He's a name. Would defenses start to respect them a little bit more? Because right now, the way defenses are looking at you is there is a blueprint, which is crowd the line of scrimmage, one safety deep, if that many, and let N'Keal Harry and Damir Bird go to work on the outside because we don't really care.
See, I feel they're giddy that they're getting Andrews back, which kicks Tooney, and you get Shaq back off the COVID list. They're going to get normalcy up front with their offensive line, which should help Cam in the middle, where he's not going to get that middle pressure where he could step into some things. I think, you know, Josh and Jed got to be telling this week, step into the throw. Let's get the ball. Slide in that pocket. Move up. There's room there. Let's get off the back foot. You know, let's get off that back foot lazy throw. And I think it helps the timing in a running game. You put Tooney back at guard and Shaq. You got two of the best pulling guards in the league. With a Wienu, too. I mean, he can pull. That guy's mauling people. You've seen him pop, right?
Phil, let's get that pronunciation there on that one.
All right. So there's actually, I've gotten a little clarification on this.
Thank God.
As a matter of fact. because so we've got a situation here, and you guys are familiar with this, because I'm not sure Brad Marchand still knows how to pronounce his last name. I've heard so many different pronunciations from him himself.
He's pronounced right? it differently, correct.
Gostkowski, I guess, changed his pronunciation about halfway through his career here, based on what I'd heard this morning. Michael, who I had been calling Michael Onwenu, which is what he was, Michael Onwenu, which is what he was called at Michigan, which is how he pronounced it himself on his Michigan bio. There's a little SoundCloud link there and everything. He pronounces it for you. Michael Onwenu. Onwenu.
Onwenu.
He has changed that.
To what?
It is now Michael Onwenu. Onwenu.
Wait, you...
So now it's Onwenu.
I thought you had clarified yesterday that it was Onwenu.
Well, because I was going off the Michigan pronounce. I didn't think he had changed it since Michigan. I had been on Onwenu since before the draft because I looked it up because I was going to be talking about him on TV.
So you said
so it's right there. He's saying it on the Michigan. He's saying it on the Michigan site. Michael Onwenu. Okay, so I've been saying Onwenu for 6 months. And I get a text yesterday. He actually changed it with a video of him preseason at the Patriots, somewhere in the Patriots facility, saying Michael Onwenu. So okay, that's so a mea culpa there. I got to make that correction. Okay. But it's Onwenu.
I'm going to help you. So you think, okay, someone's taking a crap. And you go, oh, when? And then you go, ooh. So Onwenu.
Oh my God.
Got it.
Your brain is something else, man.
The brain of a 9-year-old.
Oh, when? Ooh.
Everything goes back to a poop joke.
Think about it.
But can we get back to what you were saying, though, which is nice that the offensive line is going to be in good shape, it looks like. At some point, you have to make a throw to the outside. Like, at some point, somebody's got to get open.
It's going
to
be Bird. Throw. It's going to be Bird. I've come to that conclusion. Because
you're down on
the other guy, he's falling every he can't get out of his own way. And it's not even that.
Mentioning
it's,
his name
it's,
anymore.
It's not even that. It's
he's the other guy.
It's avoiding defenders. Like, okay, he's the guy. And this is what frustrated me when we had guys like Tony Simmons was a fast guy, but he had big feet and he had difficulty in route putting him up and down. You tell him run a 10-yard dig cut. He's going to run exactly 10 yards straight up field. If there's a DB there, he's going to run into him, run through him, and then cut over at exactly 10 yards. There's no avoiding that defender. You've even seen it with him in some of the jet sweep stuff. You got a guy blocking. You got Bird blocking, Stock blocking a guy. He's coming across, and the jet sweep takes it, runs right into Bird's back. Instead of use the block, set it up, avoid the guy, slide up inside, and run.
I think the issue that I would be worried about.
It's seeing coverage and avoiding it.
Is that he's not seeing it the same way the quarterback is seeing it. I don't know if he's seeing it consistently the way his coaches want him to see it. There was a moment last week where he's got 10 yards of cushion. It's late in the game.
Oh, my
God. There's a screen called to the left side to Julian Edelman.
Cam's looking
at him. Cam Newton sees the cushion. N'Keal Harry must see the cushion. There's nobody in his face. Cam Newton gets the snap, turns to try to throw to Harry, it looks like. And I've tried to talk to some people about this, and I have not been moved off this position. He turns to look to throw to Harry because it's free yardage on the outside.
Harry's
he comes
up
back
field.
To Edelman, maybe a half a beat late. Edelman gets tackled for a 2-yard loss. Yeah. Cam Newton turns to the sideline and then sort of gestures in Harry's direction as if to say to McDaniels or somebody else, yeah, well, I would have liked to go there. But the guy's, you know, he's also kind of jogging through his route because he wasn't called. He's not expecting to be part of the play. There's a screen call that usually just goes to one guy. If you're the receiver on the opposite side, you're really not in the play. He took himself out of the play.
They disrespected him as a player. They backed off him and they give him. When you give a guy 9-10 yards in cushion, you're saying, okay, this guy's not going to, he's not exploding off. He still didn't explode off the line of scrimmage.
And he's not, and Beadle, he's not athletic enough. He's not enough of a specimen to have those kinds of moments. If you're going to be who N'Keal Harry is, you got to be wired a little bit like, and this is a comp that his college coaching staff threw out before the draft. You got to be wired like Anquan Boldin. You got to be wired like Julian Edelman.
Boldin played angry.
A dog, yeah, and not in a lazy dog way. You have to be aggressive. You have to seek out contact. You have to be aware at all times. You're not a burner. You can't just flip a switch and run by somebody the way DK Metcalf can. You just can't. You got to fight. And I'm not sure we've seen a ton of that consistently from him. Occasionally you see it as a blocker. Like they use him a ton on these crack toss blocks. So like he's coming down. He's 225 pounds, 6'4". Like, nobody's better, you know, opening up a little bit
of space. He's a good blocker.
When he can ear hole a guy who's not expecting it. than N'Keal Harry? Can you do something to win on the outside? Can you out-physical somebody to make a contested catch? Like, these are the things that he's not stacking week after week after week. The ability's right there. He has the ability to do it.
Hines Ward would knock your head off.
I haven't seen it.
On paper, he has the ability to do it.
You look at it.
We saw it in flashes even last year. Yeah. There was a back shoulder catch in Dallas. There was a contested catch. He dove in the back end line in Cincinnati. Like, here, you see it in little brief glimpses.
Kansas City.
I don't see it consistently.
Yeah. I want to see him fight for the football when he's actually in. You know, I know what you're talking about, but he's had opportunities this year to fight for a pass and hasn't
Kansas
been
City.
In. Kansas City. Kansas notably, City, notably, on a third down play, right? On the sidelines. Yep. Couldn't do it. So I look at those and say, that's why you're here. You're here. They drafted you for that. And I don't think it's been there. And I think it's really trending in the wrong direction for him.
You know what's going to make people sour this weekend, too, is there's a guy on the other side who plays a role that Harry should be playing here. Debo Samuel, that guy is a dog. That guy fights. That guy lowers his head. He takes it on an end around. He's seeking out. He's a little quicker than Harry. He's a little smaller. They're not perfect comps. But coming out of college, the scouting report on both was very similar. It was get the ball in their hands in space and watch them go. And that these guys are going to make contested catches. They're going to make people miss in the open field. One guy's doing that right now, and he plays for the other team this weekend.
Let's go to Nelson, who's in Brookline today. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, guys. Well, Mr. Perry already stole my thunder in regards to Michael Owenu there. And so I'll make a quick comment in regards to the whole situation of how you guys are pronouncing it. And what messes you guys up is that the Americans believe that the English, the way that they do the English alphabet, is what applies everywhere to all the names. So I would say learn how to say the alphabet in Spanish, and then that'll help you a lot with foreign pronunciations. But
what would help if players pronounced it the same way consistently throughout their career?
Yeah,
That's what would help. So, but my question in general was over this. You guys, Mr. Perry, you feel very highly about Michael Owenu, as you wrote in a piece that I saw. But do you think that if he's projecting this way, if he's projecting on the plus side, ultimately, is he going to turn into like a surprise lineman like Joe Tooney? Like, I know nobody really foresaw that. But do you think that the Patriots ultimately should start already thinking in advance and maybe signing this guy? Not now, obviously, because he's still under contract, but He's a rookie, Nelson.
Nelson, he's been here 5 minutes. He's had a great season, though. He looks like he's a great pick. There should be no thought to anything to do with his contract. He just arrived.
You sure?
So I would say, though,
sure, they shouldn't give him $5 million like they gave Gilmore?
That the roster move you might be looking at, though, is a trade of one of your other guys.
Correct. That could be the possibility. But
that's the domino effect of Michael Owenu playing.
Zoe's been trying to trade Tooney all year.
I have not been trying to trade him. I'm just saying, if they haven't made any attempt from what's being talked about where to even extend Tooney or try to get anything done, it was just like tag him and let's go play. Then what's the plan with him long term? You know, they gonna want to pay him $14-15 a year? I don't think they will.
You're gonna want to make him the highest paid guard in the league when the salary cap is about to drop to maybe $175 million next year.
February, you might not know who your quarterback is. You want to do that with a lineman? No.
There are two players that I think it's almost safe to assume that these two players will not be on the roster next year. And so the question becomes, do you deal them now? Do you wait till the offseason with one of them? Or do you just let Tooney go and free agents get a comp pick? It's Tooney and it's Stephon Gilmore.
Wow. I don't think either will be here.
I don't think Gilmore's long for this roster, given the way the contract is set up. Given the fact that he was given basically a $5 million advance on next year's salary this year, just to bring him closer to the top of the market at that position, which he deserves, no doubt.
Right.
Would you trade him even?
He's older than some of these other guys that have been paid recently, and I'm not sure they're going to be looking to give him another raise next year.
They're not going to do that. So would you trade him either way? If someone offered a first right now, would you do the deal, regardless of where the season's going?
First round pick, I would.
As would I.
I think the depth is good enough, but I'm not sure you're getting a first.
Here's your problem.
That's why I throw that out there to make it an easy decision.
Bert was on with Toucher and Rich this morning, and he said, before he left, he said, I just want to let you guys understand this Gilmore deal. He goes, the last 10 players in the National Football League that have been traded for a first round pick, the oldest player, and there were a couple of them, was 26. 26.
Yeah, first round pick. He's five years old. Pie in the sky.
That's scary.
Then I don't want to trade him. Let me draw up a different plan. I'll get back to you before we're done here today. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll do it next.
Oh, my God.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We know it's a business trip back east, but I don't know if you guys get any 2 hours to yourselves, or can you have some Boston pizza delivered to the hotel?
Oh,
and if
John
so,
Pepe's, man. Yeah.
Are we going to do Pepe's? Are we going to do Santarpio's? Anybody can smuggle you some?
Got to get Jimmy a good pie. Yeah.
I know, man. I really want to. There's a couple spots up in the north end I wanted to get to. It might be tough with the whole COVID rules. I don't know how that works with leaving the hotel and everything.
Have a courier deliver.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, maybe a little DoorDash.
Yeah, DoorDash me a pizza Regina. You know?
Are we talking Regina? Is that what we're talking?
I could go for any of it. Is that your recommendation?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Regina's solid in the north end. Yeah.
Got to get Mike's Pastries, too.
Okay.
Oh, Mike's Pastries.
You know what?
That Bill Belichick has wined and dined quarterbacks in the North End before.
That's right.
Most notably, Tim Tebow.
Phil, you think Jimmy eats pie?
Are you asking me if he's a pie eater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume so.
He sounded like a guy
shredded.
Who,
guy is shredded, no doubt about it.
But he sounded in that particular exchange like a guy who did not have a favorite pizza place in Boston.
I would agree with that.
He did not. He was not able to name one.
So
I think he likes a popular one in Foxborough. You brought it up yesterday.
Sal's and Mal's?
Yes.
Great spot.
I've heard he frequented there a lot, especially like the chicken parm there. Got to find a place. Got a good chicken parm.
That's, you're in that
you
area.
You think he could have even reached down deep and come up with Regina's if he was really pressed?
Oh, that's
on
typical.
It.
Typical like cheese ball interview. Oh, we're going to go Pepe. Frank Pepe's like, that's listen, you know, Connecticut.
If you're in the greater Foxborough area.
I know it's good here, like but yeah.
Sal's and Mal's, good spot. Let's get into this. Jimmy G, what do you think the probability of Jimmy G, I would say, getting out of San Francisco, escaping that team and getting back to New England this offseason is? And would you want to do it, Phil?
I would not want to do it. I think the odds of it happening at some point aren't low. Like Kirk Cousins is about to be a free agent. Kyle Shanahan loves him some Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, statistically at least, is performing in a very similar system in Minnesota right now. They have a background shared from Washington. Again, he's going to be a free agent. Would it shock me if he ends up in San Francisco and the Niners, who have constructed his contract in such a way that he has no guaranteed money next year?
So his extension is what? Fake? The Cousins extension? They can get out of that?
Do I have that wrong? Did he sign one recently that I have wrong?
In March, he signed
two for 60.
Two for 66.
Okay. So then that's off the table. Man,
yeah, 2 for 66, that's right.
Boy, Kyle Shanahan must be so sad. Can you imagine if you're Kyle Shanahan?
They don't
Shanahan,
like Garoppolo, do they?
And you're saddled with an average quarterback in your system that is like taking candy from a baby, and this guy, you can't even trust him to throw the ball more than a handful of times.
With the best tight end in football, Phil. Best tight end in football and all that.
The weapons are unbelievable. The weapons are tremendous. The system is tremendous. This is a system, guys, that has made capable quarterbacks out of a long list of people you would not consider capable quarterbacks. Brian Hoyer was top 10 in yards per attempt. Pretty good marker of sort of overall quarterbacking efficiency, yards per attempt. Zoe, would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Brian Hoyer, top 10 in yards per attempt in his 1 year in Cleveland with Kyle Shanahan. Rex Grossman, top half of the league in yards per attempt in Washington. Donovan McNabb, 33-year-old Donovan McNabb in Washington, top half of the league in yards per attempt. Matt Schaub for 2 years consecutively.
Oh, my God, you forget about the McNabb Redskins.
He has taken nothing at that position and turned it into something. He has turned bad to average, average to good, good to MVP with Matt Ryan. What is Jimmy Garoppolo? If we're looking at him now and we're saying, hey, he's a pretty average guy, he's probably right around, I don't know, 15, 16 in the NFL right now. What is he really then? Not in this system. Because this system props up every single quarterback it has ever had. And Jimmy Garoppolo right now is somebody who is, I would say, is not a good quarterback. I would say he's an average quarterback. There are a lot of stats. We can go through them all if you want. I just wrote up a big piece about him yesterday. I look at this player as somebody who can, yes, win you some games because he's better than bad, right? Yeah. Which is what the Niners had. So they go from bad to average, and the record goes crazy, and the performance is so much better. And people say, well, look at the guy's a winner. Look at him. Well, yeah, if you went from no quarterback to an average quarterback, generally the team is going to perform a little bit better. But he's an average quarterback when you look at a lot of the numbers over the course of the last 2 years.
Average.
And by the way, he's missed 40% of his games the last 3 years.
It makes sense now because like I get excited when I watch him play when they match up opposite, you know, when we're doing our games. And then you sit there and you wait the whole game. Like that Rams game, I'm waiting because I want to see him get the ball to Kittle. I want to see him drive the ball. Right. Now he hit a 4th and 2, you know, a short one, but that's a slant. That's a hot route. And then Kittle takes it the distance.
Phil, next year you have a shot to keep Cam Newton on a reasonable contract or even a franchise tag if you must, or bring in Jimmy G. Which one would you rather have? Come on, Phil.
Cam Newton for 1 year, 25, which is what the franchise tag would be for next year, $25 million. It's actually coming down because the salary cap is coming down. That's how it's calculated. It's calculated as a percentage of the cap. Party. So $25 million for Cam for 1 year, or Jimmy. If you say you trade for Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
Again, the contract, he's late in his contract now. So
guaranteed money is gone on his.
Right. But
he would sign an extension if he ended up here. I have no doubt about that.
Bill's going to bring him in here. They love him.
No, let's just say this. Cam, 1 year, 25, or taking Jimmy G next year on his existing deal.
It's about this. It's really not that much different.
Make a choice, Phil. Make a choice. What do you want?
I go Cam. I would. Okay. I go with Cam for one more year, and I would be looking for the next guy. I think Jimmy is good enough that he would suck you into not planning ahead at that position. And that we know they like him, right? So maybe they look at him and they say, well, he'd be better with us than he is with Shanahan. But Shanahan has made chicken salad out of you know what at that position for a long time now. Are we sure Jimmy Garoppolo would be better here? I mean, the weapons there are far superior to what you have here in New England.
Oh, my God.
The system, I would put those guys sort of on equal footing in terms of play calling, offensive wizardry, if you want to call it that. Like Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan, I would say are similar. But the weapons there are so much better than they are here. He's not going to be a better quarterback here right now. So I would go with Cam for one more year, and then I'd be looking for the next guy. So, guys, there are 4 quarterbacks in the league this year who are bottom 10 in the NFL in both yards, air yards per attempt, so they throw short, but also completion percentage. They are Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Dwayne Haskins, and Jimmy Garoppolo. So those guys are figuring out a way to throw more incompletions than the vast majority of their peers, despite throwing it short on average more than anybody else. Jimmy Garoppolo also, since the beginning of last year, right? So full year last year, some of the numbers look pretty good. The yards per attempt look pretty good. The quarterback rating looks pretty good. Since the beginning of last year, Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing the 3rd shortest passes on average, and yet he still has the 5th highest interception rate among NFL quarterbacks. How does that work? How do you throw it short and still find a way to throw it to the other team? I think he's lacking in some really important categories.
That's extreme.
The release is quick. The athleticism is pretty good when he's healthy. I'm not sure he processes real well, guys. And you got to be able to do that at that position. This offense makes it easy for you in San Francisco. It simplifies everything. It's why the league is taking it by storm. This offense has taken the league by storm. So Shanahan runs it. McVay runs it. Stefanski runs it in Cleveland. They run it in Minnesota. They run a variation of it in Tennessee. They're running it now in Green Bay. It's everywhere. You know why? Because it makes your life easy if you're a quarterback. And if you can't be better than average in this offense, you might be worse than an average quarterback. I'm not saying he's there yet. I'm not willing to go that far that he's below average. But it's shocking to me that he hasn't been better in this offense, given how easy it should be making his life.
So what do you got over there?
To support everything Phil's telling you about Jimmy as far as, you know, those short passes. So my little buddy, he's grinding away here. Bob Sosi, voice of the Patriots, calling a game on Sunday. You know, you look at Garoppolo's stats last week, 268 yards through 4. So, wow, Jimmy had a great day. How many of those yards were after the catch?
97 for Debo.
226.
Oh. Wow.
226.
He's leading the league. He has for the last 2 years. This is why the system's
that's,
so great.
That's perception versus reality. Like, you look at it and say, well, okay, he's getting the ball to Samuel. It's all little chest passes.
All six completions to Debo were behind the line of scrimmage.
The head coach told me, hey, these receivers, they're little extensions of the running game. Like, but it comes up as pass statistics, but approach this as a run.
All right.
He has for the last 2 years. He's led the league. His receivers have led the league in terms of yards after the catch. So the yards per attempt for him, the quarterback rating for him, those numbers are inflated. That's not Jimmy pushing it down the field. That's his guys doing the work.
One more segment with Phil Perry and RJ Bell coming up at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss any of it.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Peter. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Okay, I've got a rework trade. If it's not a first rounder for Stephon Gilmore, you've got an offer on the table for 2 second round picks.
No.
Phil? I think Phil's frozen. Look.
I would consider that.
You would consider that.
Yeah, I would consider 2 seconds. What's the team? Is it a contending team? Are they two, or is it a low second and a second that might be low next year as well?
Somebody wants Gilmore. They got to be a contending team and needs that piece. You know?
Yeah, let me look at the teams that they could do that.
I would hesitate. I look at this, guys, as there's so much uncertainty moving forward after this year, as Beetle looks this up. There's so much uncertainty after this year. Like, you can still make a run here. I know they're 2-3. I know they haven't been here.
Oh, it's not over, Phil. It's not over.
I still think they're actually... If they can add a piece that's going to help them, legitimately help them offensively on the outside,
okay.
They need it desperately. If you can get that guy, I think this is a pretty good team. And I think it's a weird year. I think the AFC is actually pretty clumped. Like, the Chiefs aren't a great team this year. I think they've shown that.
They could be taken.
A great team this year.
Yep. What about Kyle Rudolph? What about Kyle Rudolph in the middle?
I'm not sure just how much that does in terms of big picture helping you. Obviously, it's an upgrade at tight end. But Zoe, when I look at this, the tight end,
I say that because work Cam in the middle of the field. I think he's like an Olsen, you know?
I just think you need something to soften up a defense that's saying we're just gonna crowd the box and you have to be able to figure out a way to get us out of that because there's nobody that's scaring us on the outside. I think we talked about this with Castle a little bit on our podcast yesterday, and Castle said, you know, a tight end's great and all, but if you don't have a vertical threat, and most tight ends are not vertical threats.
He had Randy Moss.
The defenses you're seeing are going to be the same. You're going to see the same number of guys in the box. They're not going to fear. Kyle Rudolph is not striking fear into the hearts of defenses. You need respect from opposing defenses. You need those guys to back off.
I'm looking for like
that's going to help your running game, and it's going to help your pass game.
I'm looking for like a 500 team. Now, Seattle we know would make a lot of sense because they need the help in the secondary, but they have like wiped out their draft board with trade. So I don't know how willing they would be to do it. How about like the Panthers? They're 500 team, first year head coach.
They're building though. Gilmore's not, I don't think, a great idea for them, is it? They're building.
Not a great
contending team right now.
Yeah, they're technically in it right now. I don't know.
How about the Seahawks?
I mean, they make the most sense, but I just don't know what they'd be willing to give up because they've sacrificed some picks and trades.
Did you just say Seahawks and I wasn't paying attention?
I did. It's when the hosts aren't listening or when the guests aren't listening, but it's okay.
That's on me.
It's all good. No, they make the most sense out of anybody. They're the obvious choice.
Actually, which team might be interested if they were a little bit different style defense because Richard Sherman has been out for so long and he's getting up there in ages, the Niners. I mean, the Niners need help defensively. This is not the same defense that went to the Super Bowl last year. They've been decimated by injury.
Tons of injuries.
Defensive line is totally different this year. Linebacker, they have a great linebacker in Fred Warner, and they do have a corner now, Jason Verrett, who is a player, and he played well. If you guys watched that game last week, he's good, but they've got one. You need more than one.
So if the Niners lose this weekend, they dip to 3-4. I wonder what direction they start thinking about going here. Like, not buy or sell, but just, hey, are we maybe the buy aspect. Are we willing to buy anything? I mean, we've been hit with all these injuries. Just got to sort of ride it out, I'm guessing, would be their thought.
I would think so, too. Yeah. It's a good question. I just don't see, when you have to give up both draft pick compensation and then pay a guy.
Yeah.
That guy has to be not only special as a player, he's got to be young, as Burt mentioned. I mean, you're talking Jalen Ramsey. Like, that's what the Rams did to get Jalen Ramsey. Not only did they give up a bunch to get him, but then they went and paid him, too. I mean, that's a double whammy. You have to really believe in that guy. And is there going to be a team out there that's willing to do that for a corner who's great? Don't get me wrong. He's still really, really good, but he's 30 years old. And how much is he going to be a part of your team long-term moving forward? That's why I don't think the haul you would be getting. I think it's probably one of the reasons why he's still on the team. Like, if the Patriots tried to trade him this offseason, it's because they weren't, and they haven't, it's because they weren't getting what they wanted in return. I think it's hard to get a really good return for Stephon Gilmore.
Plus, based on how this has gone, whether he's here or elsewhere, he's primed for a holdout if he doesn't get a new deal.
That's the thing. You have to give that. That's part of the equation. So the team's saying, well, why would I give you a first-round pick if I also then have to give the guy, you know, $17 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like you trade him and you know you're going to have him for the rest of this year and all of next year, because there's a pretty high risk of him not showing up to camp at the start of next year.
You would have to factor it in even before you made the deal, is that this is what we have set aside for this guy with a cap that is, oh, by the way, cratering next year. This is what we have set aside for him, and we give him the deal almost as soon as we made the trade.
Hey, Phil, it'll be one of those. Great to talk to you as always on a Friday.
See,
we'll do
Phil.
It again next week.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
All right, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. RJ Bell standing by. We'll talk to him right after headlines.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rims with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigger, I don't like it. 1 o'clock hour on a Friday, we begin it with RJ Bell of pregame.com and, of course, Fox Sports Radio. Hardy, he is brought to us by
Prop Swap. Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets. PropSwap.com.
RJ, happy Friday.
This should be an exciting weekend, I think, here. We're going to see if the Patriots, you know, very mysterious poor performance. It's funny, guys. I don't know if you watched the line move.
Yes.
But on Sunday, it plummeted. I mean, it was 9, 9.5, went down to 7. One of the most intense moves I've seen in years against the Pats. Someone knew it wasn't going to be a good day.
Do you think this will shake the confidence of the betting world in the new?
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, screaming out money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rims with the window crack, holler back, money in the bank.
Jigger, I don't like it.
1 o'clock hour on a Friday. We begin it with RJ Bell of pregame.com and, of course, Fox Sports Radio. Hardy, he is brought to us by
Prop Swap. Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets. PropSwap.com.
RJ, happy Friday.
This should be an exciting weekend, I think, here. We're going to see if the Patriots, you know, very mysterious, poor performance. It's funny, guys. I don't know if you watched the line move.
Yes.
But on Sunday, it plummeted. I mean, it was 9, 9.5, went down to 7. One of the most intense moves I've seen in years against the Pats. Someone knew it wasn't going to be a good day.
Do you think this will shake the confidence of the betting world in the New England Patriots?
I think that there's a lot of ambivalence about Cam in general. I think that people appreciate his athleticism, but also feel like there's something that's been amiss, right? Obviously, there's a reason the Patriots were able to get him at effectively a veteran minimum. And I think that the belief was, hey, maybe Belichick can account for it. He can fix it. But then we see this performance and think, oh, maybe not. This is what I'll say. The Tennessee game against Buffalo was potentially a confusing exception. And what I mean is that you think, oh, look, they didn't practice, or maybe they did, but they look great. Maybe practice doesn't matter as much as we think. Except, remember, this is a team that's been together quite a while, and Tannehill has been there 2 years, et cetera, et cetera. Cam's new. So all the stuff that had to do with how much prep do you need, COVID style, in the off season, new coach is a problem, new quarterback's a problem, I think it applies equally if you miss practice early in the year. So I expect the Pats to do much, much better.
So, RJ, we've been talking a little bit today about the Patriots being in a spot and how they typically respond. And I know over the years, in talking to you on this very show, you've quantified some of that with the statistics of Bill Belichick teams after a loss. And so I wonder if, because Brady is not here anymore, you can't really follow those trends.
Well, I mean, doesn't that get to the heart of the question?
Yeah.
Right? Is, to me, in general, a coach is going to have much more to do with after a loss than a player. Because the question becomes, how does the team respond? You could see a situation, and let's just talk about our own lives, and let's talk about something kind of fun, picking. If you win last week, do you do better or worse? Typically, people do better if they win last week because they're more enthused about it, they're happy, they're engaged, they have their confidence. If you lose one or two or three in a row, does that help? No, it gets your confidence down. If you have a coach like Belichick that you trust, you look at him and say, hey, he's confident, I'm fine, I think that makes a big difference. Some coaches, it becomes a death spiral when a team starts to lose. Other coaches, they say, we're going to focus so much, we're not going to lose that second game. Belichick historically has been outstanding not losing that second game. Now, I will say this quickly. Last week was the perfect storm for Belichick to do well. Not only had they, you know, off a loss, they were off a double-digit loss, which actually was even better for Belichick, and they were going to potentially be under 500. So to me, if you want to say history tells us X or Y, last week was one of the most positive weeks you could imagine, and New England still lost.
All right, I'm thinking Pittsburgh getting a point. What are you looking at in this Tennessee-Pittsburgh game? We look at it as 1 point. Like, that's the one of the books we look at.
Oh, you're saying
what are you seeing it at? The spread, right? Yeah, because I've seen multiple where Tennessee's getting a point.
So right now, Pittsburgh, and I'm pulling it up as we're talking here, Titans are 1.5 even. So come Tuesday, Wednesday, Pittsburgh was favored, and then there was some pretty strong action on the Titans. Titans favored clearly now upwards of 1.5.
Okay. So I'm taking Pittsburgh in this still, RJ.
I tend to agree. Well, I think more so, right? I mean, you get better,
yes,
you know, if it's a better bet. Now, that's always the catch-22 because other people will say, well, if the sharps are betting one way, you might be apprehensive to go against them. in general, I hate going against sharps, but if it's a small move like this, I'm fine with it. Here's why I like Pittsburgh. A lot of people are confused about Tennessee. There's a sense that you got a great coach, which I think you have a good coach. All right, that's fine. And maybe eventually a great one. Then it's like, oh, they got a rock-solid defense and this offense. Now that Tannehill's playing. No, no, no. The defense for Tennessee is like 25th, 28th. This is a top-five offense, a bad defense, and a good coach who, quite frankly, and let's look back to last week against Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston had one win, okay? Now, Tennessee was home, and Tennessee was favored by 3.5. Now, let's say home's 1.5 now. I think that's fair. So you're saying that Tennessee was 2 points better than a horrible, maybe not a horrible Houston team, but a one-win Houston team. That was the market saying, we don't believe in you, Tennessee. And Tennessee got very lucky to cover that game. Very, I mean, one of the, you know, luckiest covers of the year. To me, I think that the game that has people believing in Tennessee is Buffalo. And I think we talked about this. Buffalo was in such a horrible spot in that game where they literally on Sunday didn't know if they'd be playing on Tuesday if they'd be playing on Tuesday, yes, or on Thursday against Kansas City. It was one of these weird spots that Buffalo was in such a big disadvantage, and Tennessee looked good. I wonder how much of that had to do with that and how much of it had to do with how good Tennessee is. So in general, you look at Pittsburgh, this is a team that strength of schedule hasn't been great, but their performance have been outstanding. They demolished Cleveland, obviously. I think Pittsburgh's just a better team, and if the line's 1.5 with the home team, I'm just going to pick the better team.
RJ, game I looked at this weekend, and a couple of us agreed on this, both me and Jim Louth. We said the game to go with is the Cowboys. Now, this is for not a pro reason, but definitely a Joe reason, and that is the Cowboys can't possibly be this bad that they lose to Washington.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the old, it's been five straight heads, so tails have to come up,
nice.
Right?
Even with a drunk baby, you're flipping that coin.
It doesn't matter who's flipping the coin. And to me, here's a great, like if you think someone's a sharp, if it's about casino stuff, poker, ask them the following question. If you walk up and there's seven reds in a row on roulette and you have to bet red or black, someone says, here's $20, free roll, what do you bet?
Doesn't matter.
Probably bet red, actually.
I'm going red.
Seven in a row?
No.
Well, let's make it eight.
It doesn't. It's, oh, this is the great thing about roulette. And RJ, you know this. When they started putting the sign up about numbers, the roulette take went up like 300% in casinos because people want to divine some sort of a pattern, but every spin is independent. The game has no history. So it doesn't matter.
First off, you're making a brilliant point about how by posting the results, some people say, oh, look, seven straight reds, gimme, gimme, gimme. Others say, oh, black is due. Here's the thing. You said it very astutely. It is independent. At least that's the assumption. And thus, what you want to play in that case is red. And here's why. There's some small chance that it's a crooked wheel.
Crooked wheel theory.
Right? If it is a crooked wheel, you are getting an edge going red. And if it's not a crooked wheel, it doesn't matter what you do. So in the case that it matters, it's red. So to me, there's good examples of that when it comes to like all the things we look at where we could say, oh, maybe that, you know, this is a coincidence or that's a coincidence, or maybe there's something there that we don't fully understand. And you know what I think? I think with Dallas, maybe they are just that bad.
They are the crooked wheel, so to speak.
That's a good one. Now, think about the end of that. I don't know if you guys watched the whole Monday night game, but if you look at the drive chart, Dallas was losing the game like something like 28. You know, it was a horrible result. And Arizona, at the end of the second half, still kept scoring. They had four drives, Arizona, in the second half. They scored on three of the four. How bad is that Dallas team morale that you're getting crushed and the other team has no motivation? They were just running. They weren't, like, trying anything. And they still were scoring. Now, I'll tell you this, Andy Dalton wasn't as bad as he seemed. And I'll tell you, if you quantify it this way, there were five drives in the second half for Dallas that they actually gained 30-plus yards each of the five drives. And somehow in those five drives, they only scored three combined points. It's almost impossible to have five drives like that in a row and only score 3 points. It's been fumbles. It's been interceptions. So to me, I think Dallas's offense is better than they seemed. The defense is probably worse. I tend to like the over in the game, but I got no part of that Dallas team on the side because I think morale with that defense is so bad that I don't want any piece of Dallas.
I didn't want any piece of it either, but I was overruled. How about Seattle over Arizona? That's a good game, huh?
I love Arizona in this game, especially at 3.5. So what square had Seattle?
I wanted Tennessee, but Zoe went first and took the Steelers. So he said, pick another game. I'm like, I don't know. And Zoe said Seattle. I'm like, Seattle. Yeah, I like their helmets.
Oh, so
fine.
It's someone else's fault. Your pick is someone else. Okay, I got it.
I literally, there wasn't another game on the board that I liked this weekend. At some of those weekends, it's like you don't see anything that jumps out to you.
You're right about that. I mean, we've got, pregame.com, we have the only guy to win the Super Contest twice, works for us exclusively, and I've got a bet with him. He has to pick 7 sides a week on air, and he gets to lay 103 against me, right? So the typical lay is 110, yeah. And he's now down a game or two on the year. He actually went 6-1 last week to come back. But it's so hard to pick a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh game.
A typical week, how many games do you look at, RJ, and like? It's like, no, I like.
That's a great question. If we're talking sides only, like the point spread, 2 or maybe 3. But it's rarely, if ever, going to be over 3, and it's usually going to be 2.
And there are weekends when you just don't like any of them.
Well, I usually have 1, and maybe I'm still just a little, you know, as much as I want to be dispassionate, it's kind of hard not to like anything, you know, like I tend to, you know, but some weeks I kind of like it, but don't love it. Other weeks I love 2 games. But I'll tell you this, Arizona, I did a new study. I'll actually send it to you guys when I finalize it, if you're interested.
But yes.
What I did, thank you. What I did was this. I said, all right, when is a game competitive? So I said, if it's within 14 in the first half, let's call that competitive. If it's within 10 in the third quarter, if it's within 7 in the fourth quarter, and all of overtime. Okay, and I looked at every play, and you can do this at Pro Football Reference. You can do search. It's kind of involved, but you got to look for certain things, and then you put it in a database, and then you combine it. And what I found out was, and in theory, these are every play of the year that it was competitive. Only look at those. Because let's be candid, when Arizona's beating Dallas by 20, how much does it mean? I don't think anybody knows. Remember Dallas last year, their stats were great, but a lot of those stats came from comebacks. And the question is, if you're down by 20 and you come back, what does that tell you? So when you look at only competitive, Arizona is the 5th best team in the NFL. Now, I'm going to dig deeper to try to understand what's happening there, but I just came up, you know, with the calculations this morning. And by the way, and you know me, I'm a big Patriots fan after the Steelers. Patriots are like number 23 in that. So, in general, this is new to me, but do you guys think conceptually that saying looking only at the stats when the game's competitive is a meaningful thing?
It's meaningful. It does mean something. I wouldn't call it meaningless, but it's how, you know, does that determine how good you are? If you're a really good team and you beat the crap out of everybody from the, you know, kickoff of the game, does that come through in those statistics is sort of the question.
Well, in theory, all the way up to having a 14-point lead, you're gaining all of that benefit. So you're
okay,
right.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay.
So, and again, it's an interesting concept because what I know for sure is if you look at the stats, and I know we got to run in the Cowboys game, it looks like the Cowboys actually played better than Arizona. They had more yards. They had more first downs. Something's wrong with that. You can't just look at yards and first downs if Dallas actually had the better score or better stats than Arizona. Thus, I think competitive times in the game is a place to look.
All right, RJ, great to talk to you as always. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thank you.
See you, RJ Bell joining us from Fox Sports Radio and pregame.com. You can also hit him up on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Also want to tell you that Phil Perry today was driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats. Your calls coming up on this weekend's game, on the World Series from earlier. Whatever it is you want to talk about, we're talking about it with you the rest of the way. Join us next.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.